According to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our growth comes through the scriptures. Join me in Psalm 119 this morning. This is the 1 hour we really shouldn't start late. We got to hit it punctual and hit it hard and fast for the 60 minutes that we have. This is day 198 in the Through the Bible Reading Calendar, and our text is Psalm 119. So just only one psalm today. It just happens to be the longest psalm, longer than any five other songs probably. I meant to look that up the other day. It's 176 verses, and eight verses per stanza, and each stanza. I'm going to talk about all of this as we work our way through the Hebrew alphabet. But Psalm 119 this hour. We've got psalms all day long. By the time we wrap up the afternoon session, the fourth hour of this day, we'll be in Psalm 150, and the book of Psalms will be in our rearview mirror, with one exception. There is a post-exilic psalm that we get to sometime in September. But other than that, today we'll wrap up our trip through the book of Psalms. God is spirit. He must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. In preparation for the study of the Word of God, let's take a moment for silent prayer, asking our Father for his faithfulness to bless our study. Shall we pray? Almighty Father, we come before you this morning once again, thankful for truth, rejoicing in your faithfulness, and calling upon that faithfulness, Father, to bless our time in your word today. I thank you for Psalm 119, which really encapsulates everything that we're trying to do this year, what it means to live in the Word of God, to abide and to dwell in the Word of God, to be a disciple. This is the psalm, more than any other, that celebrates the Word of God. So I just thank you for it. Ask for your blessing upon our time together. I thank you and praise you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. All right. One thing I'm going to relax about is not trying to cover every detail. We're not going to do it, okay? This is not the class for the details. This is the class for the big picture. So we're going to get the big picture of Psalm 119 this morning. Psalm 119 is an acrostic psalm with 22 eight-verse stanzas, beginning with the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And a lot of the modern Bibles will actually do that. You'll see the New American Standard Bible on the right gives you the Aleph there and spells it out for you, Aleph there. So that'll help you work your way through, and it's a great way to learn the Hebrew alphabet, working your way through Psalm 119 and seeing the letters there. And every single verse, for those first eight verses, they all start with the Hebrew letter Aleph. And I had attempted to color these the other day, and I just got frustrated with it, so I stopped. You can see, I'll show you a couple of them. So like there's the Aleph in the word Asher, Asherah, and there's another Asherah, and here's an Af, and you'll notice they all start with this Aleph character there. So that's the way we're going to see as we work our way through. Eight verses with Aleph, eight verses with Beth, eight verses with Gimel, and we work our way through the text. The author is unknown, and the majority of traditions assign it to David, with a prominent minority of opinion favoring an exilic author. And so many rabbinic traditions, so many Jewish legends, so many even among evangelicals and so forth. I remember Colonel Thieme of Baraka Church viewed this as the death march, that this was composed by a captive being taken away to Babylon, and each day on his death march he composed the next eight verses. Which is interesting. I've read it. It's in the Ralph Braun Categorical Notebook, and there's other printed sources where you might find that. I just don't know the basis for that tradition, or if that was just simply a conclusion that Pastor Thieme came to on his own. In any event, seven separate Hebrew words for the Word of God are featured throughout the 176 verses of this psalm. And I'm not going to take the time to run through them, or we're certainly not going to look at all those verses, but Torah, we know, is the word for law. Edah, the word for testimony or witness. It's always in the plural, by the way, always of laws of as divine testimonies. Not only the ordinance, not only the laws, they're testimonies, and we are to be obedient to them. Anyway, we'll be dealing with those. pikud, or the precepts, or the statutes. Chok is the statute or the ordinance. And those used to puzzle me all the time because they seem to be rather redundant or overlapping. Mitzvah for commandments, like the bar mitzvah, the son of the commandment. Mishpat, judgment or justice, or even custom. And then davar, the word, the thing, the matter. So, work your way through those and pay attention as we work our way through here today, and we're going to see a whole lot more. All right, the final point of introduction. The psalmist, whoever he is, and I don't think he is David, but I think he was very influenced by Davidic writings, Davidic psalms, Davidic thought. The psalmist is a believer under maximum testing, afflicted and mocked by those who should know better, and remaining faithful to God's word in every circumstance. And we can find instances in David's youth where he was mocked, where he was mistreated. But I think the level of testing that's spoken here is not a level of testing that David reached until he was much older, until he was an adult, until he was married, until he was on the run from Saul, other things like that. So that's part of my thinking anyway that makes this a post-Davidic author. But you'll see in verse 23, even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. So there are political leaders over him, maybe a tribal prince, maybe a king, whoever it is, that he's young and these princes are mocking him. You would expect, you would like for your political leaders to be supporting you, and that's not the case here. Psalm 78, may the arrogant be ashamed, for they subvert me with a lie, but I shall meditate on your precepts. Verse 86, all your commandments are faithful. They have persecuted me with a lie. Help me. Verse 157, many are my persecutors and my adversaries, yet I do not turn aside from your testimonies. And then finally, verse 161, princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. Anyway, the use of princes there, we'll talk about that as we work our way through as well. To me, it argues against the Davidic authorship, certainly the later Davidic authorship. And this is a mature believer. And if David is the author, then it would be later in his life, but that's not reflected by the youthfulness that we see in the psalmist here. All right. Are we ready? I'm just going to give you one snapshot for eight verses. Okay, and we're going to do this 22 times. And this is definitely the shorter version. If you want more detail on this, we taught a Psalm 119 class back in 2006. And so those MP3s are sitting there on the website. In fact, the notebook is in the hallway. You can get the PDF off the website as well. And if you want, I think it's 29 hours altogether. We did some introductory classes, some wrap-up classes at the end, and then we had 1 hour per strophe, per stanza here. And so that's going to give you much more detailed information than we're going to get here this morning. But let's look at verses 1 through 8. And then the outline, too, by the way, I didn't label them A through whatever. I labeled them with the Hebrew letters. So this will be another way for you to learn the Hebrew letters, in that point 5 does not have an A, B, and a C. Point 5 has Aleph, Beth, Gimel, and all the way down to Tau. So let's look at verses 1 through 8, where we'll see that the only life of blessedness is the life that is dedicated to God's word. And again, this blessedness is happiness. In fact, I'm hating that already. I'm going to change that to happiness before I go to bed tonight. The only life of happiness is the life that is dedicated to God's word. How happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How happy are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in his ways. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn of your righteous judgments. I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. All right, there's our Alpha, our Aleph strophe here, the first eight verses of Psalm 119. And again, I've said this several times, you're probably tired of hearing it, but the Asherei is a is an adjective of happiness. It's not the baraka of blessed or blessing. To me, I want to avoid that confusion. And maybe I'm the only one, but I want to avoid the confusion between blessings and happiness. That when God blesses us with baraka blessings, that's one thing. But the Asherei speaks to my subjective experience, to my happiness, to my perspective of what God's blessings are all about. And so I went through and created a visual filter. Every time that the Hebrew has Asherei and every time the New American Standard translated as blessed, I went through and crossed it off and changed it to happy. And that's everywhere it appears in the Old Testament. So it is the life of happiness. Also, you notice it's not just academic. It's not just a believer that's sitting in Bible class 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. He's actually living it out. He's a hearer and a doer of the Word of God. And so you see this, that they are walking, that my ways may be established. That means that Bible doctrine is a living part of his experience, that he's living it out. And so we see the activity there. All right, that gets us to Beth. The only life of purity is the life that is dedicated to God's Word. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Again, we want to stop and just break this out and give you all the subpoints on this, and we don't have the time for that. But you can notice the life of purity. The fact that the Word of God transforms us and shapes us and causes us to be more Christ-like, more holy, as we're commanded to be holy, as God is holy. Also, I think we have here some of the first warnings against the departure, either wandering away from it or forgetting it. The idea that a believer can learn a whole bunch of doctrine and then go out there and walk in doctrine in darkness, despite what he's already learned, is sad, right? But it is a reality. It is a very real snare that any believer can be vulnerable to, can be subject to. And if you think that it'll never happen to you, just pray extra hard, because that's an attitude of pride that is probably means you're more vulnerable than you think, all right? By the time we finish this psalm, we will be absolutely convinced that this is the most spiritually mature believer anywhere you're going to find in the Old Testament. I mean, this is a believer. I believe he's male. He speaks in the male gender. I believe this is a young man who is so in love with the Word of God, it puts most of us to shame. I mean, absolutely does. And this is the prime example of abiding in the Word of God that we have in the Old Testament. And if he is concerned about wandering, if he is concerned about drifting or about forgetting, if he's concerned about that, then I would put forth that all of us need to be concerned. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So the only life of happiness, the only life of purity. Thirdly, the only life of abundance. This is the Gimel strophe. The only life of abundance is a life that is dedicated to God's word. This is the Gimel strophe in verses 17 through 24. Abundance. And abundance in, biblically, is not what most Americans think abundance is in a secular sense or a financial sense of what it means to be abundant. The abundance is how God deals with us. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. The abundance is the attention that we come under in God's personal dealings, that we are saved and that we are in a personal relationship with the Lord. So deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wonderful things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul is crushed with longing after your ordinances at all times. What a difference, right? This is not a believer that can take it or leave it, or, yeah, I'll go to church unless there's a good football game or something else going on. No, this is somebody that truly pants like as the deer pants for the water brook. My soul is crushed with longing. You rebuke the arrogant, the cursed, who wander from your commandments. Take away reproach and contempt from me, for I observe your testimonies. Take away reproach and contempt from me. So what element is in there that he's concerned about? You know, not everything is perfect. He's not the sinless example that sometimes we make him out to be. He's got issues too. And he's thankful that the word of God is removing them. Even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. We talked about that in the introduction. This is one of the clues as to the background for this psalm. Your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. One of my favorite verses in the whole Old Testament sitting right there, particularly when I'm asked about my philosophy of counseling. And I said, well, let me tell you about my philosophy of counseling, okay? Because we got the best counselors in the universe, and they're listed for us right here in Psalm 119, verse 24. It's the Word of God. It's the living and abiding Word of God. And not only, of course, studying it and learning it under a shepherd in a class such as this one, but actually meditating on it day and night, living it out, praying through it, learning from the Father what these testimonies are about as you live them in your Christian walk. And so, those are the best counselors you're ever going to come across, day and night. You don't have to pay $120 a billable hour to talk to these guys. They will just sit there in your soul and refresh you all the time. All right, Daleth. God's word is the believer's provision for the revival of an aggrieved soul. Well, wait a minute. This guy's positive to doctrine. He's in the Word of God. He's doing great. What problems could he have? More than you would think, right? That this is the nature of the angelic conflict, that the more you're intimate with the Lord, the more you're growing, the more, the attacks are going to come, and you're going to have issues that you're going to have to recover from. My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Now, it's not that he's a weak sister or that he's got these other problems and things going on. Remember what Jesus said. He said his soul was troubled to the point of death. And he was hoping that Peter, James, and John would pray for him there in the garden, and they kept falling asleep. So, you know, when you have these kind of realities, you can't lie about them or act like they're not true. The Father knows anyway. So just be honest in your prayer life and say, Father, my soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me. But revive me according to your word. I have told of my ways, and you have answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders. And this is the glory that we have in the Word of God, not just learning what it says, but making those connections, processing the principles within them, and connecting them with other parts of the Word of God, so that you have the complete understanding of the whole counsel. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. Don't know what he was grieving about. Doesn't really matter, does it? He's dealing with it biblically. Remove the false way from me and graciously grant me your law. I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. So whatever the background was on this and whatever the temptation was, maybe he had friends or family members or somebody that was trying to get him down that wrong path, and he turned away from it. And it hurt. There was grief connected with that. But he knows he made the right choice, so he's still trusting in the Lord. I've chosen the faithful way. Verse 31, I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. And yes, this is a very intimate verb. I had to double check myself there. Remember, if you hover your mouse over a word, you see the Hebrew there in the tooltip at the bottom. But you know, the man and the woman, the man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife, and the two become one flesh. It's a pretty intimate deal, wouldn't you say? This is what he says he does when he says, I cling to your testimonies. Are we as intimate with the Word of God as a marital embrace? O Lord, do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. I love that. And this, again, that's marital language there. You have it in Song of Solomon when Shulamith wants to run with her shepherd lover. All right. Hey, are you with me? Hey. All right. Verses 33 through 40. Believers must keep themselves teachable and trust in the Lord to teach them. Keep ourselves teachable. See, at a certain point, this is the danger of adolescence, this is the danger of knowing a little bit, is that you think you know it all. And then you have to have the humility test to say, wait a minute, I'm just getting started. And keep that humility all the way into your adult and old age status where you just say, I'm still learning. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. See, that keeping it, that means you're learning it and you're living it. It's the perception and the application of Bible doctrine. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to dishonest gain. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways. You know, if there are certain things that you already have identified as a snare, you know, whatever classifies as vanity in your personality and sin issues and other things like that, just know it for what it is and make it a prayer target and say, all right, Father, you know, this is what I can twiddle away 30 hours a week in this, and it's vanity. I don't need to be doing that. And just understand it for what it is. Turn my eyes away from looking at vanity. Establish your word to your servant, that I, as that which produces reverence for you. That's another snare. Getting so much knowledge and losing the fear of the Lord, losing the reverence. This is a snare that comes about, as Paul says, that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And what happens is you can end up with a whole lot of Bible know-it-alls that have very little fear of the Lord. They've lost it. I mean, classic Phariseeism right there. And Jesus encounter that all over the place. So establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your ordinances are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me through your righteousness. And so he has these issues, he has these struggles, and he needs to be revived. All right, wow. I mean, that's my pronunciation. Most people would say vav, okay? But vav is not as fun as wow. And especially when you follow hey, wow. And this helps you think your way through the text. All right, Glenn doesn't like it, though. He rebukes me. All right, verses 41 through 48. The vav, the wow strophe. The believer's love and trust for God's word will motivate him to speak that word in every witnessing opportunity. You know, to know it and not speak it, to have a lot of internal knowledge and yet you have no willingness to speak of it or speak about it, why not? What is the hesitancy there? Don't you love it? Don't you love the Lord? Are you not eager to share that love and describe its beauty and its glory to any who would hear? May your loving kindness also come to me, O Lord. That's the chesed, and it's a plural of chesed. Your salvation according to your word. So I will have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. You know, we already know about having an answer for those that ask for the hope that is within you. We want to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We want to be able to speak the gospel on those occasions. But this is a reproaching occasion. This is where we're being attacked, where we're being reproached, where a servant of the adversary is tearing us down. And what does our answer need to be then? Okay, not evil for evil, but we need to return a blessing instead. And this is the answer, and we have to be prepared for it. Because if God doesn't prepare us for it, then trust me, it's going to be carnal. It's going to be ugly. And it might be glorious. I mean, it might be a zinger, and you might be real proud of yourself for a moment, but then you're going to have to confess it later and say, Lord, what did I say that for? What was that about? I need to return a blessing and not a cursing. So I will have an answer. Do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I wait for your ordinances. So I will keep your law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. Walking at liberty. You know, the word is so freeing. Jesus mentioned that when we're abiding in the word of God, if you abide in my word, you are truly disciples of mine. And what does he say? You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So this is the pattern. John 8, Psalm 119. Living in the word of God is a tremendous life of liberty. I would put forth that neglecting the word of God, that drifting in your doctrinal understanding, that just out there adrift like the world lives, that's slavery all over again. You're putting yourself back in the world system and back under the influence of the sin nature. I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be ashamed. Again, I think this argues against the Davidic authorship, but unless he's referring to his peers, his fellow kings and whatnot. No, this is a young man, and other clues that we have in other passages. Verse 47, I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. The delight is an embrace. It's a hugging. It's a, shagog. We talked about that when... in Proverbs 8, when the begotten one, when the son is delighting in his father, when the father is delighting in the son, even fondling him on the knee and playing with his the child in whom he delights. So delighting in the Bible doctrine, delighting in the word of God, just you know, like you're enjoying a grandchild, or you know, you're delighting in a small child or a baby. It just brings delight to take the word of God and play with it, right? Just play with it. Live it, love it, play with it. It's a lot of fun. Choose your metaphor there. And I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. So you understand, this is an all-consuming thought process. This is not just 1 hour a week. This is not, and then don't even think about it until you come back next week. But it consumes us. We think about it. It shapes how we think. It shapes how we perceive our nation, our current events. It shapes how we make our decisions, the basis by which we choose, employment decisions or any living arrangements, anything in secular life. Shaped by the Word of God. That's Romans 12, 1 and 2. When you are living your bios life according to your Zoe life, shaped by the standard of the Word of God, that's worship, your spiritual service of worship, as Romans 12 points out. Zion. All right. Keep in mind, just a little pointer here, Ayin is a Scrabble word, and you can put the front hook in front of it with a Z for Zion. They're both acceptable Scrabble words. I love playing Ayin and then trusting that my opponent doesn't know you can hook it with a Z and make a word in the other direction. All right. Zion. God's word is eternally valuable, and the humble believer will pursue it no matter how the world derides him. I should tell you, by the way, all 22 of these Hebrew letters are acceptable in Scrabble. So learn how to spell them, learn how to use them on the Scrabble board, and you'll do great. Remember the word to your servant, Zion, okay? And the verb zakher is a verb of remembrance. That's where Zechariah gets his name and so many of the other names that start with Z in the Old Testament, right? Remember, zakher. Remember the word to your servant in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me. The arrogant utterly deride me, yet I have not turned aside from your law. You stay faithful no matter what. The conflict ramps up. Oh, well, that's the way it goes. That's to be expected. I'm going to stay faithful. I have remembered your ordinances from of old, O Lord, and comfort myself. The nice thing about the dual remembrance here, telling God to remember while you yourself are remembering, that's a good thing. And it's not that you've forgotten or that God has forgotten, but you are choosing to dwell on it. You're choosing to make it in the forefront of your active thinking. So I've comforted myself. Burning indignation has seized me because of the wicked who forsake your law. That's not carnality. That's the righteous indignation, right? The burning indignation. And there were things that caused Jesus indignation and things that caused David indignation. And the psalmist here, it's not carnal to be triggered by wickedness as you see it and then pray over it and give it to the Lord. Your statutes are my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. The privilege not just to study but to sing. And realizing that earthly life is just a pilgrimage. O Lord, I remember your name in the night and keep your law. This has become mine that I observe your precepts. Yeah, day and night, 24 hours. You know, you can't drag your pastor home and ask him questions day and night, but the Word of God just sits there in your soul, and it's your counselor, and it's your blessing day and night. Chith, verses 57 through 64. The believer who loves God's word rejoices in sharing that devotion with other like-minded believers. Similar to the earlier one when we talked about testifying and speaking, communicating. The Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep your words. I sought your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments. That's another snare, is that you're not totally hostile, you're not totally antagonistic, but you can sure drag your feet and kind of slow things down and be a little lackadaisical about how you obey and how you serve God and so forth. It's a spectrum, if you will, not... You don't go from active positive to active negative volition like that. There tends to be a diminishment from active to passive and on that downhill slide. When active positive volition becomes passive positive volition, you've taken one step down that downhill slide. And then how far is it from passive positive volition to passive negative volition? Now you've tipped it over, and now you're negative, not actively so, but in a passive way. Anyway, we've taught that before. So I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have encircled me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight I shall rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous ordinances. I am a companion of all those who fear you and those who keep your precepts. You're surrounding yourself with like-minded believers. You're surrounding yourself with the right kind of peer pressure, those folks that you can celebrate with. I mean, you know, there's a crowd that you can, if you try to share with them things out of Psalm 119, they're not going to give two hoots. They're not going to care. Like, you're going to bore them to tears. Why do they want to listen to that? But when you find like-minded brothers and sisters, and they just eat that stuff up, and then now you know you got somebody to fellowship with, you got somebody to reinforce your faith, and you can reinforce theirs. It's a beautiful thing. The earth is full of your loving kindness, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. All right, from Chath to Taith, how are we doing? I am behind the curve. There's 176 verses, which means the halfway point is... We're not there yet, but we are there on the clock. All right. Taith. The believer under God's word can appreciate the value of forgiveness and affliction and the infinite value of God's word. forgiveness and affliction. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. And discernment, boy, we talk about that quite a bit with the book of Proverbs, that you have knowledge, you have wisdom, but if you don't have discernment for applying the right wisdom in the right circumstance, you can be applying the right wisdom in the wrong circumstance and just make a big mess of everything. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Isn't that beautiful? And we don't know what it was, not important, none of our business, but this psalmist had a sin issue, and he did go astray, and he's praising God for spanking him. He's praising God for the affliction that woke him up, that got him back on track. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The arrogant have forged a lie against me. With all my heart I will observe your precepts. Their heart is covered with fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Again, what a value, the infinite value of God's word. You can't put a price tag on it. That's why it's an insult. I think the good example of Baraka Church there is they never put a price tag on their books, their tapes, their teaching materials, or any of that. And it was always freely provided and freely received. It was the nature of grace. We have the same philosophy here. Yod. God's word places us in the proper creator-creature perspective, which you would think we would never lose sight of that. Trust me, it happens very frequently that human beings plunge into realms of arrogance and they start thinking of themselves as better than God or knowing more than God does or disagreeing with God's opinion on things. Your hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. May those who fear you see me and be glad because I wait for your word. That's a nice dynamic there too, that others will be looking to you in their struggles, in their Christian walk. And they have the gladness provided. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Oh, may your loving kindness comfort me according to your word, to your servant. May your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. May the arrogant be ashamed, for they subvert me with a lie. But I shall meditate on your precepts. May those who fear you turn to me, even those who know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes, so that I will not be ashamed. Again, the sense of community with the like-minded believers and those that you want to associate with. And you're going to benefit them, and they're going to benefit you the more that you are associated together in this Christian walk. All right, cough. Okay, cough. I probably should change that. I don't know why. Oh, I can't change that. That's the New American Standard. Wow. All right. I can't change that. That's not mine. The New American Standard put that in there. That's known as the final form of cough, when it appears at the end of a word. When it appears at the beginning of a word, it looks like this. And in my opinion, that's what they should have put there, but they didn't ask me. All right, God's word provides us with proper perspective on time. The proper perspective on time. Oh, this is critical. My soul languishes for your salvation, but I wait for your word. My eyes fail with longing for your word while I say, when will you comfort me? See, we are creatures of time. We're bound by time. It's moving forward. We can't roll back the clock. We want to. We want to stop things or slow things down. It is what it is. Time is what it is, and from the day we're born to the day we depart, we're on that clock, and we have to number our days. We have to present before the Lord a heart of wisdom. And so waiting on God, we have to trust in His timing and in His perfection. Though I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? Well, we don't know, but that's God's business. The arrogant have dug pits for me, men who are not in accord with your law. All your commandments are faithful. They have persecuted me with a lie. Help me. They almost destroyed me on earth. But as for me, I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Lamed. Lamed. God's word provides us with proper perspective on God's faithfulness. Verses 89 through 96. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth and it stands. You know, this is such a prime benefit to studying the plan of God, studying, like in the ABC Plan of God Reader, understand the overall scheme from Alpha to Omega, observe God's faithfulness from generation to generation. He's got a plan for 1,000 generations. And, you know, having the big picture in view helps us to realize that he's not going to change who he is this generation or today. He's not going to change who he is and all of a sudden decide to be cruel and evil and ruin my life for no reason, right? That he is the faithful God he's always been for every generation before me, for every generation coming after me. And I can bank on that. I can count on that in my generation with what he's doing in my life. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it stands. They stand this day according to your ordinances, for all things are your servants. Yeah, if your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. Man, I want to stop there and preach for an hour or two. Can't do it. But understand, this is a counterfactual. This is a what if. This is a had it not been. Right, where we can stop and say, well, thank God that it is, because had it not been, where would we be? Okay, had it not been, but it is, thank God. If your law had not been my delight, well, thank God it is, because I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. I am yours, save me. You see, the Bible uses salvation far more frequently for people who already are eternally saved, right? We have phase one salvation, phase two, phase three. These are the ongoing deliverances from sin temptations, from snares, from affliction, from all the conflict of life. He's obviously a believer. He has eternal life. But he needs these daily rescues in the plan of God. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. I shall diligently consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad. There's a statement right there. All right. Don't have time. Mame. Mame. The youngest of believers has the deepest of wisdom when he abides in the Word of God. This is where I tell you, go back to the Sunday school and see the grounding that a lot of these kids have, and it's solid. Thank God for it. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. How common does that happen? How frequently does that happen in earthly life? You know, I think about, you know, in high school and college and wherever, you think about your professors, and would you ever have more physics knowledge than your physics professor? Would you ever have more? If you're a student and they're teaching you and these are things you don't know, but see, in the living and abiding Word of God, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And we can grow by leaps and bounds beyond our biological age. We can, and so some believers are very young biologically, but they are solid on their doctrine, and it's powerful, absolutely glorious. All of the religious leaders in Jesus' day were stunned when 12-year-old Jesus kept answering all their questions and answering and asking them questions, and they were absolutely impressed with him. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. You know, this is sanctified hate. We've taught it before. That it is a love application to both love and hate in the will of God according to the Word of God. Noon. When they did it again, that's the final form of noon, not the regular form. All right. Noon. Believers in the darkest moments of their lives can trust God's Word even up to the moment when the Lord ends His life. What if the answer to our prayer is physical death and promotion to glory? That's an answer. It's a great answer, right? Because to die is gain, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so, you know, you think, oh, they lost their battle to cancer and whatever. No, they gained. God chose this episode to glorify Himself in the benefit to that believer. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and will confirm it that I will keep your righteous ordinances. I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. O accept the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. So, I mean, he's on the verge of death. It's so close. It's like his soul. You know, the physical death is when the soul departs the body. It's like as if he's holding it in his hand. It's on the verge of slipping away. And that's the imagery on this. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not gone astray from your precepts. I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, even to the end. If this is the day of my departure, then I'm going to be living the Word of God on this day. And just depart in fellowship, depart in the Word of God, depart in the... I've thought it'd be great as a pastor to drop dead in the pulpit, except it's kind of rough on a flock, right? Still, wouldn't that be awesome? Okay, when the trumpet sounds, how about that? Then we can all of us launch up through that steel roof, okay? Even to the end. Samak. Here's more hate. Sanctified hate. Believers who pursue God's word will come into conflict with those who reject God's word. I hate those who are double-minded, but I love your law. And we better process this. I think this gets abused. There's an awful lot of times that Christians promote unity, they promote ecumenicism, they promote all kinds of, let's just get along, let's not fight. And what they're doing is they're compromising with evil. And we cannot do that. I hate those who are double-minded, but I love your law. You're my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. Depart from me, evildoers, that I may observe the commandment of my God. I don't have time for you. I'm walking with the Lord. Get out of here. Sustain me according to your word that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Yeah, your compromise with Satan is actually depressing. It's actually shameful. Uphold me that I may be safe, that I may have regard for your statutes continually. You have rejected all those who wander from your statutes, for their deceitfulness is useless. You have removed all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. Oh, that's a powerful psalm. All right. From Samak to Ayin. See, I told you, A-Y-I-N. It's a valid Scrabble word. You can put a Z in front of it. You can also put an L in front of it, but that's for different reasons, not for Hebrew letter reasons. All right. Ayin. Believers leave their judgments in the hands of the Lord. Verses 121 through 128. Leaving your judgments in the hands of the Lord. I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the arrogant oppress me. My eyes fail with longing for your salvation and for your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your loving kindness and teach me your statutes. Isn't this beautiful? Here is a brother that is just letting the Lord handle it all. He's giving it over to the Lord. He's not trying to deal with it himself. He's just surrendering everything to the judgment function and the justice of God and leaving it in God's hands. And then he says, deal with me. Let me learn what I need to learn through all of this. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for the Lord to act, for they have broken your law. I think we all get there, right? We all tell God, now's a good time. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, yes, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem right all your precepts according to concerning everything, and I hate every false way. Sanctified hatred as we love the Word of God. All right, pay. Believers who long for God's Word enjoy freedom from iniquity's dominion. Again, living in the Word of God, producing that liberty, producing that freedom. What kind of freedom? Freedom from sin. The deliverance from the sin snares and the temptations that we face on a daily basis. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul observes them. The unfolding of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Yeah, the pay is a mouth, so I'm not surprised we have the word mouth in the pay strophe. But giving understanding to the simple. Again, I love the Word of God. It's not like physics or calculus or anything complicated. The Holy Spirit teaches us. We are born-again believers with living human spirits, with a permanent dwelling of God, the Holy Spirit, and just humble yourself under the Word of God. Let the Holy Spirit teach you. And it's marvelous. You can have a room full of believers, some of them have been saved for 80 years, and some that just got saved this morning, and the Holy Spirit teaches all of them from the same pulpit message that goes forth. It's powerful. So I opened my mouth and panted. I longed for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me after your manner with those who love your name. Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. I mean, goodness, why did he save us in the first place? It wasn't to just leave us enslaved to our sin nature. He saved us so that we could have freedom from that sin nature, so that we could walk by means of the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How pathetic is it? Now, the unbeliever, we get that. They don't have any choice in the matter. They're lost. They're dead in their trespasses and sins. Any Adamic unbeliever out there is going to be enslaved to a sin nature, because what other choice does he have? But you and I, we have the divine provision, and thank God for that. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of water because they do not keep your law. It's okay to have regrets. Just give them to the Lord and get past them, grow through them. Crying over failures, all right. Learn from it, move on. Tsade. God's word provides us with proper perspective of righteousness. Righteous are you, tzaddik. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. It's all about God's righteousness. Now, he gives us that righteous standard when we get saved, imputes it to our account. Now we need to live in that righteousness. So righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. You have commanded your testimonies in righteousness and exceeding faithfulness. My zeal has consumed me because my adversaries have forgotten your words. You know, Jesus, the zeal for the Father's house consumed him, and the disciples woke up and said, hey, Scripture talked about that. We should have this zeal. And this is something where maybe the Pentecostals do better than we do. And maybe they do better in the zeal department. We just need to have the zeal in accordance with knowledge so that we're on track with our enthusiasm for the Word of God. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have come upon me, yet your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. That I may live. You understand this? Oh, this is beautiful. He already has physical life. He couldn't be writing the psalm if he wasn't physically alive. But it's the richness of our Zoe life in Christ. It's that abundant life Jesus promised. That I've come that they may have life, they may have it in abundance. Give me understanding that I may live. It's believers that are living out the doctrine that they know that are truly thriving in their Christian walk. Kof Resh Shin and Tau. I got 9 minutes. I'm going to risk a sip of coffee. All right. Kof. Not cough. Kof. Kof was earlier. This is Kof. All right. We used to have fun with Kof and Kof. When B3 and Cliff were learning Hebrew and we were doing little Hebrew classes, and they would tease themselves every time I or Glenn Carnegie said cough, they would do a and then, okay, you're playing. We get it. All right, Kof. God's word motivates us to exhaustive prayer. Some of us don't pray enough to get exhausted. Some of us don't pray enough to even break a sweat. But we should be exhausted in our prayers. I cried with all my heart, answer me, O Lord. I will observe your statutes. I cried to you, save me, and I shall keep your testimonies. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for your words. You see how exhausting this prayer life is? He's waking up extra early. And then waiting. My eyes anticipate the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Goodness, did he pray all day long? Sounds like it. And now that the sun's gone down and the night watches have arrived, now he has more privacy and more opportunity to pray even more. That I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. Revive me, O Lord, according to your ordinances. Those who follow after wickedness draw near. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Of old I have known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever. All right, he's got that perspective of Alpha to Omega. Resh, God's word provides us with proper perspective for our advocate. Who's our advocate? We've got to have a proper perspective on our advocate. Verses 153 to 160. Look upon my affliction and rescue me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Thank God we're not pleading our own cause. We don't stand before the Father's throne and make our own case. Okay? Not representing ourselves. We've got a better lawyer than that. We got the Lord himself standing before his Father's court. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your ordinances. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, yet I do not turn aside from your testimonies. I behold the treacherous and loathe them, because they do not keep your word. We've had hatred several times, but here is a loathing that goes with that hatred. Loathing. Because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The sum of your words is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. So you have the sum of them, the total, but then you have the individual, each and every precept. Every statement God makes is true. We accept the truth value of all of God's doctrine, and then we aggregate them. We put them together. We get the whole counsel. From Alpha to Omega, the sum of them. Sheen and Tav. The believer who abides in God's word can rejoice in any circumstance. even a death march to Babylon, if that's what this is, whatever his affliction was, we can rejoice. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great spoil. Woohoo! As a 10-year-old boy that finds a box of ice cream fudgesicles in the woods. I think, wow! I'll tell you that story later. Don't have time. I hate and despise falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous ordinances. 7 times a day? Goodness! What is this guy, a fanatic? Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. Look how stable you can be when you're living in the Word of God. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Tov. 8 more verses to go. From Aleph to Tav. All right. Believers live one day at a time as lost sheep in daily need of God's word. Believers live one day at a time as lost sheep in daily need of God's word. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. Let my lips utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. Let my tongue sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteous. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live that it may praise you, and let your ordinance help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. One day at a time. We are lost sheep, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the Lord I love. I mean, how many psalms address this? How many of the hymns that we sing address this? And it could be us. It could be us tomorrow. It could be us today. All right. Any questions? I know. That's a lot. That's a fire hose, okay? And like I say, that's just simply the one-hour version of it. If you want 29 hours on that, then go to the website and you'll find it there. I got 2 minutes. I can show that to you. And then go to my home page, audio recordings. Look at your completed studies there on the right. All the completed studies are just sitting there minding their own completed study business. And there's Psalm 119 right there. It's listed with the newest one at the top. If you want to reorder it, just click on the heading there and it resorts it there. 1 to 29. You can also, at the bottom, there's your PDFs for every strophe. You can also come down here and get the XML code. If you need any questions on that, that XML code is marvelous for your podcasters. Plug that URL in there and just point any podcaster to that XML. It's an RSS feed. Point your podcaster to that link, and it'll download all 29 of them to your music player. All right. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your truth. I thank you for Psalm 119. And Father, we're going to keep dwelling on your word. This chapter, this psalm is a powerful reminder that we need to be living in your word day by day, around the clock. Thank you for the example this psalmist set, David or whoever it was. Thank you for the fruit that he continues to bear. He wrote that psalm thousands of years ago. He's still laying up treasures in heaven, because on this day, he sure blessed every one of us, Father. I thank you for it. Give you the praise and the glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.